Good morning and welcome into Locked On Patriots for Friday, February 16th, 2018. Mark Schofield here in the big chair. Again, extra bonus Friday edition. I told everybody, look, you know, we're going to be going to 4 days a week. Now we're in the off season, but had some things happen. Got a great guest lined up for today, so I didn't want you guys to wait. We're going to be getting back into football. I do want to say, though, at the outset, yesterday's show started with a quick little story and brief discussion about the tragic events down in Florida. And I know that people come to this show for football, for Patriot stuff. I know I've got listeners to this show that are fans of other teams because they just like the insight, and I appreciate all of it. But I did feel like I had to say a couple of things about what happened down in Florida, and I got some good feedback on it, and I appreciate people, you know, listening to it, taking some time to think about it, taking even more time to reach out about it. I do appreciate that. It means a ton. Got some nice comments on it. Got some people that didn't like it, and that's okay. Like I said at the start, like, uncomfortable conversations are uncomfortable for a reason, you know, and I don't have answers. I'm just one guy with a microphone in front of his face. I don't pretend to have answers. I don't. That's why I just thought, take the time to sort of have experts sort through this stuff, and maybe we could come up with some answers. And maybe we can. Maybe at the end of the day, there's just no answer to this. I'd at least like to know we tried. But today, let's get back to the football, and we'll continue sort of the off-season previews here. We're going to move to the tight end position, which is a strange place to be. It's similar in a sense, I think, to when we talked about the quarterback position, because the Patriots, they do have four tight ends under contract for the 2018 season. Working our way up the depth chart, Jacob Hollister is under contract. Rookie, undrafted free agent out of the University of Wyoming. He saw a lot of playing time this year. They also have Dwayne Allen under contract. In terms of salary cap numbers, look, Hollister, just over $500,000 is his sort of cap number for next year. Allen's cap number for the 2018 season, $5 million. Then there's Martellus Bennett, who, yes, is under contract for the 2018 season. $6.1 million, his cap number. But I believe the Patriots can move on from that contract rather easily. Looking over at our friend, Miguel Benzon, Pat's cap, looking at his page right now, as well as looking at Miguel's Twitter feed. And Miguel, he lists Bennett as one of his most likely salary cap moves, salary cap cuts for the New England Patriots. And he also indicates that Bennett and Shea McClellan as well might be eligible for the injury protection benefit, which is $1.15 million each. That would hit the Patriots salary cap in September, which would add to their salary cap number. And I believe, if I'm reading everything right here, that because of the way that the Bennett deal was done, the Patriots would save all of that $6.1 million if they cut him. So he's obviously somebody that the Patriots might look to free us some space. And then it gets us to Rob Gronkowski. Cap number for 2018, $10.9 million, base salary of $8 million. Prorated bonuses, roster bonuses, workout bonuses gets you to that $10.9. And sort of the issue there, as you look to the tight end room, I think, you know, Allen and Bennett are guys that people think will be gone. Miguel, for example, tweeted on February 7th, you know, he got to $34 million in cap space after making some cuts, and Bennett and Allen were part of that. Allen didn't quite work out. Bennett, we don't know if he even wants to play. So that's one issue. The other issue is when you look at, you know, the value of tight ends around the league. You know, Gronkowski is paid fairly well. You know, the average, you know, including non-guaranteed money, the average per year among tight ends, Jimmy Graham is tops with $10 million average per year. Again, that's guaranteed and non-guaranteed money. Then Travis Kelce at 9.3. Then Jordan Reed at 9.3, just a little lower than Kelce. And then Rob Gronkowski. Now, in terms of guaranteed money, Gronkowski is way down the list. I mean, there are guys like Charles Clay, C.J. Fedorowicz, Delanie Walker, Jermaine Gresham, Jimmy Graham, Eric Ebron, Antonio Gates, Kobe Fleener. You have to get down into the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20s. Rob Gronkowski, in terms of guaranteed money per year, is 20th in the league amongst tight ends. And he's even lower than that when you look at the percentage of guaranteed money that makes up his contract, his overall contract. O.J. Howard, all of his money is guaranteed. Luke Wilson for the Seahawks, all of his money is guaranteed. Eric Ebron, all of his money is guaranteed. Evan Ingram, 96.5% of his contract is guaranteed. Then you scroll all the way down and it's 24.4 guaranteed money as a percentage of his overall contract. So when Rob Gronkowski came out after the Super Bowl and talked about how he'd have to sit back and evaluate whether he wants to keep playing, keep those numbers in mind. View them through that prism. Because I think at the outset, this is a tight end that wants some more guaranteed money. This next contract might be his last. Gronkowski takes a beating out there. He's had injuries. He came into the league with an injury history. So he just probably wants to maximize his final NFL contract. Maybe he's doing this to get a new deal. But regardless, maybe he is really thinking about retiring. The Patriots, you know, given the money allocated to Bennett, given the money allocated to Allen, what they could save, how they could make some room there, and the fact that they might need Gronk insurance beyond Jacob Hollister, and they might need their next tight end, similar to discussions we've had about Tom Brady, the Patriots are going to be in the market for a tight end. No, so that's something to definitely keep in mind. Now, in sort of looking around the league, if they try to address it, say, in free agency, you know, there are some big-name guys out there. Jimmy Graham is out there. Antonio Gates is out there. Trey Burton, an interesting name, is out there. You know, some other guys sort of down the list a little bit. Tyler Eifert's had some injury concerns. I don't know if you go there. The aforementioned Luke Wilson is more of a blocking tight end. That's how they've used him in Seattle. Clay Harbor, who spent some time with the Patriots in the past. Logan Thomas, quarterback convert. You know, so there are some ways that the Patriots might sort of address this position via free agency. You know, get in some, you know, a guy like a Darren Fells or a Troy Nicholas from Arizona. Clay Harbor, bring him back in. But the other thing to consider is that this is a very intriguing tight end class in the draft. You don't have sort of the star power like you did last year with O.J. Howard and Evan Ingram, David Njoku, who are, you know, growing into some offensive weapons already in the NFL, but it's a very deep group. And as I've said before, you know, if you want to talk QBs, I'm your guy. But if you kind of want to branch out a bit, there are experts that I know and trust and think the world of that I like to get on for their thoughts on some of these guys. Because, look, my attention, my main focus is studying these quarterbacks. You know, I keep my eyes around. And when I'm watching quarterbacks, as you'll hear in a minute, there are guys that catch my eye. But you want to hear from the best, and that's what I'm going to do next. I'm going to talk with Jeff Risden, who's an absolute must-follow on Twitter, writes for Real GM as well as Browns Wire and Texans Wire. He's going to give me his thoughts on some of the tight ends that he likes, as well as who might be the best fits and where in the draft for the New England Patriots. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. Welcome back to Locked On Patriots for Friday, February 16th, 2018. Special Friday edition here in the offseason because I got a great guest lined up. As I mentioned earlier in the show, we're going to be talking tight ends. The Patriots might need to address that position. As a matter of fact, I believe they have to, given some questions after the top guy and the fact that the top guy is hinting at a WWE career rather than playing for the Patriots. To who do we turn? Perhaps an expert on all things draft. Mr. Jeff Risden, he is one of the main contributors over at RealGM.com, as well as the driving force behind Texans Wire, Browns Wire, and just an all-around great guy. Jeff, how are you doing today, my friend?
That's way too nice of an intro, and I would love to see Gronk in WWE, although not at the Patriots' expense.
Well, I mean,
he can wait a couple years on it. It's a great idea. Easy to sell.
He's incredibly easy to sell. I'll tell you this, Jeff. You know, when I was coming back flying through Atlanta from Mobile, I'm walking through one of the main terminals with Owen Reese and Joe Ferriola. We were on the same flight from Mobile into Atlanta, and we see a Brookstone-type store selling gadgets, and who do we see a massive cutout of but Rob Gronkowski at, you know, Hartsfield Airport in Atlanta. He's a marketable dude, so I totally get the WWE fascination, particularly when you see the dude get beat up every day, every play, every game.
Yeah, and no, it's funny. He's so marketable. My wife is a casual football observer. She hears Gronk, and she immediately like turns to the TV, like, "Oh, what's he going to do? Is he going to rip his shirt off? Hopefully, you know that's
right."
So he has that mass appeal beyond just the football guys.
Yeah, and so, you know, he clearly has a life after football, which maybe he's looking to get into sooner rather than later. Which means we're going to talk some tight ends. You just released sort of your pre-combine Rankins piece on the offensive side of the football. It's fantastic. It's over at Real GM. People have to check it out. If not for any other reason than Jeff's commentary on Josh Allen, which I think more people should take to heart because it makes
more
sense.
I'm not a fan.
No, you're not a fan. I mean, look, man, I love this. His ball number, his overall numbers and ball placement are pathetic, but his shining moments, notably the first half of Wyoming's bowl game, are enough to gamble a seventh round pick. That's amazing, Jeff. I love it.
Well, thank you. That's from the heart. And as you know from talking to me in the past, that's an improvement in my evaluation of him from where I was earlier.
Yeah.
Because I did watch more because people encouraged me to watch more. And I saw some things that I did like. So, you know, I'm higher on him than I used to be.
He's got the rocket right arm. We can give him that.
Oh, he does. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like, you know, if you take one of these guys that win lawn drive contests and, like, put him into the Masters, they're not going to win the Masters, people. You can throw the ball hard, you can drive the ball long, but there's more to doing those things than just those little skills.
That's a great analogy. I'm going to steal that from you. I'll credit you, of course.
It's all yours, Jeff. It's all yours. You can have it. But, Jeff, we got to talk tight ends, and you've got four guys that I want to get through here. I'm going to start at South Carolina and Hayden Hurst because the way you wrote him up over at Texans Wire I think is going to intrigue the Patriots. What could you tell us about Hayden Hurst, the tight end from South Carolina?
You know, and I think you're right about that because especially if Gronk is still there, he's not a number one tight end. He's not an alpha receiver, but he can play off of that guy very well. He does a lot of things. He's so versatile. He lines up H-back, fullback. He's lined up at running back. He's taken jet sweep handoffs from the slot. He can line up split wide. I think he's about 6'4", about 250 pounds, so he's versatile. Pretty fast, not overly fast for the position, but just the way that he was used in South Carolina's offense, there's a whole lot to like about him because he can do anything you ask him to do at a reasonably good level.
Yeah, and building off of that, Jeff, I think the blocking in space, which is a strength of his that you noted, I think that's going to really sort of appeal to the Patriots and their coaching staff.
Yeah, one of the things that he does really well, he's not real good at sustaining the blocks, but he jolts people when he hits them, and I like that about him. He doesn't necessarily block in line well and is not going to move people all that much, but he's good enough at what he does, and of the guys that we're going to talk about, he is the best blocker of the group by far. And if you're asking your tight end to, you know, seal off an edge for an outside bouncing run or get down the field and get in the way of a safety that's trying to close on a guy breaking down the sideline, he's your guy.
Yeah, and you know, one of the interesting things about, you know, having Gronkowski is such a good blocker that the Patriots don't need a tight end to come in and be immediately proficient at that. But if they do want that, I think Hurst is their best option out of this group, like you said.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, the thing is that he can do it out of the backfield too. If you want him to play that H-back role, you know, motion across the formation and, you know, get on Gronk's flank and confuse linebackers, you can set up dictate matchups with that. That's all what Josh McDaniels and Belichick are about.
That's exactly what they love to do. In terms of sort of weaknesses to his game, you highlight inconsistency and sort of build it off of that inconsistency in the red zone. What are the issues there that you saw?
You know, he's not a guy who runs great routes. He's a guy who relies somewhat on scheme to get open, which, again, isn't necessarily as big of a problem with the Patriots as it is with some other teams. The Browns is an example. That's why they're 0-16.
There you go.
but he's not a guy who presents himself as a big target either, even though he's a relatively big guy. Of the guys we're going to talk about, he is the least likely to make an impact as a receiver down the field and in the red zone. He's a guy that if you don't have that element of the deep game to him, he's not going to get open. He's just not that nifty. He's not that, I don't know, lithe, and doesn't present himself as a target as well as some other guys do. He had one red zone touchdown in two seasons.
Not great production, but perhaps no. When paired with Gronkowski, it wouldn't matter as much.
Yeah, and if you can get another, you know, big wide receiver on the outside, which I think the Patriots should add as well, aside from Hogan, I think that would help them out too, because I think he can fill that niche very nicely.
Now, Jeff, you mentioned route running, and there's a guy here that, you know, I maybe wasn't that blown away with on tape, but then seeing him down in Mobile, I felt a little bit better about his route running. And that's Mike Gesicki from Penn State. He's gotten a lot of sort of buzz, particularly after the Senior Bowl. But what are your thoughts on the Penn State tight end?
Well, first of all, I love him because the fact that he was an All-American volleyball player.
Well, there you go. That's right.
I played college volleyball myself, and my wife was a professional volleyball player, so that speaks to me. So that automatically earns him bonus points. But he's a phenomenal athlete. If you just watch his highlights, he is leaping up in the air way over guys. I mean, he's going to have a 36, 37-inch vertical at 255 pounds, 6'4", 6'5", probably closer to 6'6", actually. Just a tremendous athlete. He was a very good basketball player as well. And one of the things that I love about him is that he's really good about not, like, using it all the time, but using it when he needs to use it. You know, there are some guys who like to show off that they can do these things, and they sort of overemphasize it. He only does it when he needs to do it, and I like that about him. I think he understands his own game very well. And, man, if you get the ball anywhere near him, his catch radius is insane, especially going up or going to the outside if he's working on the sideline route. You can throw the ball 2 yards out of bounds, and he's still going to catch it.
There is sort of a weakness to Gesicki as a blocker, not on Twitter, where he's very willing to block you on Twitter, especially if you mention his blocking inability, but blocking is probably not his strongest suit. Do you think that's something he could develop and work on in the NFL, or do you think it's just something you probably shouldn't ask him to do?
You know, and I'll say this as a 6'5" former volleyball player myself, it's hard to get leverage when you're built the way he is and the way I am. It's just not there. He has long arms. He has, you know, he's not a guy who's going to bench press more than probably 15 times either. That's just not what he does. He is a guy who is going to be a receiving tight end. He can get in the way. And one thing I would like to see him learn how to cut block, because he doesn't do that yet. And I think that's something that weaker blockers at the tight end position can do and learn. You saw Vernon Davis learn how to do that very early in his career, and it wound up being a very good thing for him. He emerged later as a much better blocker. He's built a little bit sturdier than Gesicki, though. But this guy, he's so fun to watch. And he played with an inaccurate quarterback in Trace McSorley, a guy who's going to, you know, sort of spray and pray. Obviously, Brady doesn't do that, but if you're looking for life after Brady and you don't know what you've got, that's not a bad quality to have, a guy who can, you know, sort of make a lesser quarterback look good.
Now, a guy that played with a pretty good quarterback is Mark Andrews from Oklahoma.
yes, he did.
Are your thoughts about Mr. Andrews?
I liked Mark Andrews a lot better last year than I did this year. Really? I think he gained some weight, and I think it wasn't good weight, because I think he's probably slowed himself down. He was much more plodding getting off the line and getting his release, and he's not running away from linebackers anymore, and that's a problem. I still like his all-around game, and I would love to see him lose, like, 10 pounds, because it didn't help his blocking at all. Mm-hmm. From what I saw, he's an average blocker. He's adequate. He tries. I think that's probably the nicest thing you can say about him. He's better than Gesicki, which I think is, you know, again, I don't want Mike to block me on.
Right. Yet, so.
Yeah. Sorry, bro. Yeah. No, but the number one thing that I like about Mark Andrews is that he played with a quarterback who's good at extending plays, and he was really good at getting himself open and presenting himself as a target when Mayfield went off script. And that is not an easy quality to have, and it's not something that you see a lot of tight ends coming into the league able to do.
Did Baker Mayfield ever go off script, though? I mean, I don't know if I saw that ever happen, other than perhaps on every other play. But that's a discussion.
Did they have a script? Did they even have a script?
No. I think it was basically that movie, The Best of Times, where Baker's like drawing plays in the dirt.
Oh.
Love that movie.
That's a great movie. Not enough people have seen that movie.
I wrote a piece
Russell, Robin Williams?
Yeah, I wrote a piece about it last summer.
Yeah.
I love that. Back to Andrews, though. Is there a situation that... You know, is there something you'd want to see when he comes? Because we're coming to the combine. Is there sort of an ideal sort of weight that you'd want to see him come in at that would make you feel a little bit better about where he's headed? Or
I'd like him to be at 250 because I think he played it in the 265, maybe even 270 range. You know, if he can get down there, if he can break 4.9 in the 40, I think I'm pretty happy with him because I don't think he was playing that way last year.
No.
And he was prior to that. He was much faster and lither in the open field in prior years.
And one of the things that I noticed while watching Baker was when Baker would get into trouble, it would often be Andrews that he would look for in those sort of scramble draw situations. And do you sort of think that speaks to, you know, how he's going to be looked at by his future teammates, that he's sort of the guy that the quarterback's going to look to in those situations?
Yeah, definitely. And he's got a lot of value for a young quarterback. Just as a hypothetical, I'll play Browns fan here for a second, even though I'm not one.
I go for it.
And I'm from there, but I'm not a fan because I'm smart. if they get Baker Mayfield, I would love to see them get him because they have David Njoku as sort of a dynamic, you know, speed threat. But that underneath guy, that guy who can catch the 8 to 12-yard route when things break down, they don't have that guy. There's a lot of teams that don't have that guy, and he can be that guy for a young quarterback. I'd love to see the team that takes Mayfield in the first round get him in the probably the third. I think the second's a little rich, but third round would be great for that.
There's one more name that we wanted to discuss today, and that's a prospect that probably not a lot of listeners to the Locked On Patriots podcast have heard of. A young man from South Dakota State, Dallas Goedert. What can you tell us about this man?
Oh, man. If you like people who make one-hand catches in the end zone, and honestly, when I watched him, I actually thought I was watching Gronk a little bit. Just the way that he frames the ball, he can just reach out and stab the ball, and it disappears into his hands. That's one of the things that I love about Gronk is that if you throw it near him, he's swallowing the ball, and he's doing it with like nonchalance. And Goddard does the exact same thing. He's about the same size as Gronk. I don't think he's as fast. Probably not as fast in the open field anyways. Doesn't have that sort of route nuance to him yet. But this guy, my goodness, he's a snowplow as a runner after the catch. He can reach out and make the extravagant catch. He was a high school basketball star. You can tell that he liked to use the hook shot because he does everything. He actually tries to catch with one hand too much for my liking. I'd love to see him secure it a little bit more. He's a guy I think the scouting world would have fallen more in love with him at the Senior Bowl. Unfortunately, he got hurt, left after, I think it was the first practice, not even like halfway through the first practice. So that was a real disappointment because I think it could have been a good coming out party for him because I don't think that the crop that was there was all that great.
No, it really wasn't. And with Dallas, is there sort of, because you've, you know, you dropped the Gronk reference, and obviously that's going to perk up some ears that are going to be listening to the show. Is there sort of some, are there weaknesses to his game? What about him as a blocker? Those are two areas people will ask about.
Yeah, he tries, again, at blocking, but again, this is where the level of competition comes into place. He is so much bigger than anybody he faces at linebacker or safety and at the FCS, the FCS level. Mm-hmm. It's hard to judge how he will do. That's one of the reasons why the Senior Bowl was so disappointing, because I wanted to see him, can he handle, you know, getting jammed by Okoronkwo and going out and running a route against a good linebacker? You don't get to see that. He did play some actual future NFL players. He played Northern Iowa again, and they got a couple guys in their defense that are good. But you know, you just want to see more engagement again. Like Gesicki, he's a little bit high cut, which makes it tough for him to gain leverage. He doesn't help it because he fires his hands out late and high, which can be taught. You know, that is something that can be coached, but you know, he's never going to be he's not a guy that you want as an inline blocker. This is another guy that you want as a flex receiver. He can be a motion guy. They actually used him as a split wideout some too. In a short yardage situation, he can do that for you as well. But not a powerful inline blocking guy. He also needs to work on his routes. Again, this is a function of simply being a dominant athlete at his level. He didn't have to run great routes. They could just throw it near him, and he could bully people. Right. That was sort of the way that he approached it, too. Like, I dare you to try and cover me on this. You know, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and I'm still going to beat your ass. And that doesn't fly in the NFL.
No, doesn't fly that often in the NFL. But, Jeff, I'm going to ask you here, as we're kind of rounding this out, to dive into a scary place, and that's the mind of Bill Belichick. You're going to take one of these guys. Which guy are you going to take? And if you want to qualify by sort of round, by say I'd get this guy at 2, and then maybe this guy later in the 4th, that's fine too.
Yeah, you know, I think assuming Gronk is back for like 2 more years, mm-hmm. the guy I would pair him with would be Gesicki, because I think that he can provide that more outside length. Although Hurst is attractive, I think Gesicki goes a round earlier than Hurst, or 2 rounds. I think he's a second rounder. I don't think there's a first-round tight end in this draft. If there is, the team's making a mistake.
Right.
But, you know, Gesicki in the second round, Goddard, he can be a third-rounder. And I'd be happy with, especially with where New England slotted in those rounds. That would be a good value for them. Hurst is probably in that range, too. I think Andrews, just because of the way he moves, I think he's going to go later. I like his game, but, I don't think he's the guy that the Patriots are really looking for. You know, I think he's more of a... I'd like to see him in Kansas City or Cincinnati or someplace like that. I don't necessarily think he fits as well in New England, but he's worth mentioning just because he's a top 5 talent in this class.
He is Jeff Risden. Reminder, you can check out his work over at Real GM, as well as Texans Wire, well as Browns Wire. He's one of the best people to follow on Twitter. Please do that. He is at Jeff Risden. Jeff, before I let you go, the mic is yours. Anything you got coming down the pipe that you'd like to promote?
Oh, you covered where I write. I put a ton of stuff up every day. I publish 8 things a day between the 2 Wire sites. I have all sorts of draft stuff coming at Real GM. I tend to break them up by school. I do draft prospecting by school. So, like, I'll have Ohio State. I'll have Oklahoma, UCLA. I sort of do them that way. And I also do positional stuff, too. But the school way is a little bit more fun because it allows me to watch them, like, binge on a school and do it that way. And I get more out of it that way.
There you go. Please do follow Jeff if you don't already. If you're not following him, I don't understand what you're doing. That is it for today's show. I'll be back Monday with Luke Inman. We will be going into some offensive linemen the Patriots might want to look at. Until then, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.